AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Parts of New Zealand already welcoming 2025. Ahead of the New Year's arrival in New York, where more than a million people are expected to brave the rain, security is tight.
The NYPD expanding the area blocked off this year in wake of the ISIS-inspired machete attack at a police checkpoint 2 years ago. Drones, bomb-sniffing dogs, and officers in plain clothes will be deployed. The police commissioner is promising a massive presence following the recent attack at a Christmas market in Germany.
ABC's Lionel Moy. Official New Year's Eve celebrations have been canceled across South Korea, that nation launching safety inspections on Boeing 737-800 planes after Sunday's crash killed 179 people. A state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter will be held at the Washington National Cathedral on January 9th after he lies in state at the U.S. Capitol. But first, mourners in Georgia will have a chance to pay respects this weekend at a viewing at Carter's Presidential Library. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million and change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marquette basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles are on the road in Rhode Island tonight to take on the Providence Friars. Marquette now 11-2 for the season. Head coach Shaka Smart on being ranked 8th in the nation again this week.
In sports, it comes down to what color you're wearing, you know, and which side you're on and which perspective you have. You know, what I tell our guys is we're going to control the controllables, and it doesn't change regardless of the results out there.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago against the Bulls. A recap on those games coming up later tonight. NFL, the Packers reviewing the tape of their 27-25 loss to the Vikings Sunday. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought there was a lot of things within our own control in terms of playing with fundamentals and discipline that we did not do a very good job of, and that was disappointing. It just was sloppy football.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we'll review the strikes and gutters, the ups and downs, and the good and bad of 2024. Plus, how much use are those New Year's resolutions worth anyway? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered light snow showers possible here today. Our high in the low 30s with wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, we're going to drop down into the upper teens. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
Zone.
I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Tuesday morning. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. If you plan on staying up until midnight tonight, you can expect overcast skies with temperatures in the low 20s. Winds are moving up to 15 miles per hour, and we've got a chance of snow that could make it cumbersome to be out and about. We'll hear more about it in 15 minutes from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. So how do you feel about New Year's resolutions? I don't mind them, but more often than not, they get away from me after about a month or two. A poll done by Forbes Health says that the average New Year's resolution lasts just under 4 months. If you've got a good one this year, one that you are set on sticking to, I'm curious to know what it is. Send me a text at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You can send me your New Year's resolution. I've got a few more factoids about New Year's Eve and the corresponding traditions that I'll share with you throughout the show. It's going to be a busy morning. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing will join us live to round out the hour. Before that, we'll hear from our friends from the Steffes Group. Maybe one of your resolutions is to invest in some new used farm equipment. They've got some insights for us. We'll also hear how potential work stoppages are threatening to disrupt U.S. ag exports. But first, New Year's Eve is often a time for reflection. And as we round out the year, we recap 2024 with Wisconsin's Farm Service Agency. It's all right here.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up Seed Treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up Seed Treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Well, we like to wrap the calendar year up with conversations from some of the folks that have been around for a little while trying to assist Wisconsin agriculture. We had Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski recap 2024 now in studio with us. Gene Schrieffer, he is the state director of Wisconsin's USDA Farm Service Agency offices, and that's one of those responsibilities that started well beyond 2024 with the change of administration. We wanted to make sure we get our conversation in with Gene, because you walked into that role, Gene, people have to remember, at a very unique time, not just for Wisconsin, but kind of for the world. What was it like when you found out you had the opportunity, the responsibility, and then you moved into it?
Sure. Thanks, Pam. You know, as thinking back all the way to, 2021, we were in the midst, turned out to be the tail end of COVID. We were doing a lot more remote work, trying to keep staff safe, keep farmers safe. And, thinking back to those times and before then, it wasn't until we had our backs against the wall that we were forced to change, to learn different ways of delivering farm programs. And I remember prior to this role that USDA, FSA offices, NRCS offices were closed. It was remote. We had to do things by phone. And thinking about all the times I had to come into the office to fill out my crop reporting, fill out this form, complete this survey, whatever, and think, how are we going to do that? And we figured it out, or they figured it out. And now, it was the use of technology, of using different platforms. And, You know, we think about the government being unable to change or slow to change, and there may be some truth there, but when forced, when push came to shove, we did. And I would argue it was better for the producers. I think it's been good for staff. And we've adopted new ways of doing business. And we proved to ourselves that we could do it. And I hope we continue with that momentum try to make this more convenient.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Very true. I remember when we were going to whatever conferences or meetings they would allow, you know, the social distancing and things like that. Gene, one of the things that Gene and I were talking about is you don't necessarily gravitate towards this position unless you have a true servant heart of wanting to do what's right for the people that you serve. And that includes your staff personnel, but also those farmers. That really was the driving force early on in your post.
You know, it was when I was approached about that possibility or that opportunity, it was really out of left field. It wasn't on a bucket list of things I might be doing other than what I was currently doing. And I took a while to reflect on it. And was that something that I thought I could deliver value? Could I provide better service to producers, potentially to staff? And, you know, as I thought about it, I knew some of my frustrations in my previous role, and I thought there was a great opportunity to maybe do a little bit more work with our farm loan programs and helping producers and helping beginning producers get off on a good start because of there's a lot of financial illiteracy out there, not just in farming. I mean, across all of society, but when you start talking about $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 budgets, you better know what you're doing.
Well, and that's a goal that only recently came to fruition. People have to understand nothing does necessarily come fast when you're dealing within the framework of the U.S. government, United States Department of Agriculture. But that's the most recent conversation we had, Gene. Why don't you bring them up to speed on that farm loan quest you had as an individual that's turned into a reality for everybody?
Sure, sure. Late in the summer or midsummer, we had the implemented the Enhanced Farm Program Access and Delivery focused on farm loans. And it was based on looking at our own data. And historically, we've required 150% of collateral to qualify for a federal loan. Now, if you're a beginning farmer, we got a little bit of exceptions, but you still have to have some level of collateral. But when we looked at successive loans, when we looked at repayment capacity, the data was very clear. Farmers that were at 125% were still able to make those payments, not go into default, and succeed in their loans. So why would we have a higher collateral requirement than what we really need to have those successful loans? So that was a really momentous change, really, as we thought about what the implications of that were. The other was coming up with our best offer, especially on a beginning farmer, to have a lot more flexibility in loan repayments. And, you know, I reflect backwards to 35 or more years ago when I was starting my own farming enterprise. You know, those first 3, 4, 5 years, you had a lot of costs. I'm trying to grow a business. I'm making all these investments, and cash flow was really tight. And that's still true. You know, so we now have a lot more flexible terms. So rather than have to get full payments right up front, we'll allow the farmer to reinvest in their business. If a farmer decides they would really like to contribute to 401k or Roth IRA or something like that, we should allow them to do that to provide them more flexibility down the road and get this business up and running rather than require full payments right from the get-go. It's just startup costs, right? It gets better over time. And we won't go into where we are today, but, you know, I remember those. And it was tough. And then the final, I think, major changes, a bunch of minor changes, but the other big change was I'd say life happens, right? There's a lot of things farmers don't control. And if something happens on the farm or the farm family that disrupts their ability to repay or stay current on their loan portfolio, they can get like a one-time reduced interest that extends out the loan, and we don't start to, quote, foreclose on them because somebody got sick.
Right.
An accident happened.
Right, right.
So we shouldn't be putting them out of business because something beyond their control, when otherwise they were doing fine, happened. Life happened, right? Yeah. And we've seen those. We've seen those cases where somebody got sick, something got into the herd. Nothing that the farmer, quote, did wrong, it happened.
Correct.
So how do we make that better? And we have.
Right. What's the response been like?
You know, initially, you know, I was excited about it. I didn't understand all the implications for it, but we had a national training. We sent some of our staff from our farm loan teams to Houston in July, I think. But they came back excited. They said, we see how this can help. We understand what happens with these farmers, but, you know, when we follow our existing rules, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
This is a really a fundamental change in how we approach farm loans to try and set as many farmers up for success as we can. You know, it's a recent change. I think this is going to still unfold over the next few years. But in 24, we made over 600 beginning farmer loans, which probably isn't high enough to replace the farmers that are retiring or getting out. But, you know, we have this large demographic challenge of farmers aging out and not enough young farmers getting into agriculture. And it's difficult. It's expensive. It's hard. But there is interest out there if we figure out ways to make it possible. And I think that's huge. And I hope we can continue that momentum.
Gene Schrieffer in studio again. As we said, he is our current Wisconsin State Director for USDA Farm Service Agency offices that literally dot the state of Wisconsin, sharing some of his insights from the very beginning back in 2021 to some of the accomplishments that he'll be walking out the door with in January, per se, 2025. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we lead into Civic Media's New Year's Eve celebration with Lou Regani, with highlights from my appearances on some of your favorite Civic Media shows. Happy New Year, everyone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Party. That sounds like a mess, more so than a party. And here in Wisconsin, we might see our own confetti or our own mess today in some areas, not the celebratory kind. It's white, and depending on how much we get, it could be problematic. Stu Muck joins us this morning. He's our ag meteorologist. Stu, what exactly do we have in store as we wait for the clock to strike midnight tonight?
Well, Stephanie, it's going to be a little cooler, and there is going to be some precipitation, some light snow already this morning. Far southwest Wisconsin, just to the west of Madison, there was a little very light snow last night already at Platteville and at Dubuque. Just hasn't been accumulating a great deal. There's rain further south. I don't think weather's really going to be much of an issue today unless you're hoping to see a good snowstorm. I know we'd love to have more insulating snow back on those fields, especially the hay and the winter grains. It'd be nice to have about a 6-inch snow cover as cold air is expected, but we're not going to see that. That's the unfortunate side. Even though low pressure has moved on towards southern Illinois, it's just that light precipitation around. Like I've said, rain south of the Wisconsin-Illinois border and a little snow building across the southern part of the state almost anywhere a little later today. Some very light snow could develop. It's not going to amount to much, just enough that you may see it accumulate, and that's about all there'll be to it. The bigger factor is cooler air really starting to settle in. Yesterday, still well above normal. Nice temperatures cooling off today, cooling off more for Wednesday, Thursday. In fact, in the weekend, teens for daytime highs. The normals right now, at least across a good part of southern Wisconsin, should be 29 degrees. Well, it's about 27 or so further north. Here we're talking about the teens and then very low 20s just into early next week. Going to feel a bit more like winter, no doubt there. What about that snow chance? Really not much around for today or a lingering possibility tonight. Let's hope that as we move on toward the later part of the weekend, again, I expect another low passes off to the south of Wisconsin like we're seeing right now. But maybe we could add just a little bit of snow at that time. Every little bit is going to be a better cover out across the fields. We all know how that works. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, along with us on a New Year's Eve morning. Stu, I have a New Year's resolution idea for you. How about a forecast we all like? I suppose that would be that'd be problematic. I bet it would always be wrong then.
It would always be wrong because, you know, if we tried to make people happy, it just wouldn't work.
It just doesn't work. Well, your forecast is correct on one thing, though. It's going to get cold.
It will be getting colder, and we are going to have a little light snow, some patchy fog even this morning in some areas, cloudy skies, and some light snow almost anywhere. Maybe in the south this morning, could be a bit later to the day further north and east, but it's not going to amount to much of anything. I'm expecting highs today in the upper 20s in northern Wisconsin, about 34 or 35 in the south, still mild, but winds are becoming north today at about 5 to 15. Any little snow ending in the nighttime, we we hold on to those clouds, maybe a little clearing in the north. Temps tonight dropping into the upper teens and low 20s with northwest winds about 5 to 15. There'll be some clouds in the morning in the south tomorrow, clearing from north to south. Let's say that, becoming more sunny. Temps in the about 20 in the north to the mid-20s in the south with a west breeze, and then more sun on Thursday. Call it partly sunny in a few spots. Not a bad day, but cooler. Upper teens and low 20s with the west winds at 5 to 10. And Stephanie, get your warm stuff ready. You know the upper teens for the weekend going to feel like winter.
Yeah, when you head out tonight, don't forget that coat. Have a happy New Year, Stu. We'll catch you back here on Thursday morning after the New Year's Day break. We've got a lot in store for you yet today. More New Year's Eve traditions and a potential labor strike. Don't forget John Heinberg also joins us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is news from the Center, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Parts of New Zealand already welcoming 2025. Ahead of the New Year's arrival in New York, where more than a million people are expected to brave the rain, security is tight.
The NYPD expanding the area blocked off this year in wake of the ISIS-inspired machete attack at a police checkpoint 2 years ago. Drones, bomb-sniffing dogs, and officers in plain clothes will be deployed. The police commissioner is promising a massive presence following the recent attack at a Christmas market in Germany.
ABC's Lionel Moise. Official New Year's Eve celebrations have been canceled across South Korea, that nation launching safety inspections on Boeing 737-800 planes after Sunday's crash killed 179 people. A state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter will be held at the Washington National Cathedral on January 9th after he lies in state at the U.S. Capitol. But first, mourners in Georgia will have a chance to pay respects this weekend at a viewing at Carter's Presidential Library. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marquette basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles are on the road in Rhode Island tonight to take on the Providence Friars. Marquette now 11-2 for the season. Head coach Shaka Smart on being ranked 8th in the nation again this week.
In sports, it comes down to what color you're wearing, you know, and which side you're on and which perspective you have. You know, what I tell our guys is we're going to control the controllables, and it doesn't change regardless of the results out there.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago against the Bulls. A recap on those games coming up later tonight. NFL, the Packers reviewing the tape of their 27-25 loss to the Vikings Sunday. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought there was a lot of things within our own control in terms of playing with fundamentals and discipline that we did not do a very good job of, and that was disappointing. It just was sloppy football.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be here with a Tuesday tangent from Luke, and we'll celebrate the new year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered light snow showers possible here today. Our high in the low 30s with wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight we're going to drop down into the upper teens. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. News from the center, WRCE.
I think a day later, Toe Walker had hit the transfer portal.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Don't forget to let us know what your New Year's resolutions are for 2025. I can share mine with you. My resolution is to try to journal every day, even if it's just what the weather looked like. My grandpa kept a journal, and we loved looking back at certain days of the year to not just compare the forecast, but also to remember what we did for birthdays or holidays throughout the years. Send me your resolution to our talk text line, 877-301-3276. That's 877-301-FARM. Speaking of resolutions, these are one of five of the most common traditions on New Year's Eve, according to Good Housekeeping. Here are the other four. A tradition from Spain is to eat 12 grapes. Eating one grape at each of midnight's 12 clock chimes guarantees you a lucky year. In Denmark, smashing plates on New Year's Eve brings good luck, until it's time to clean it all up, of course. Mistletoe is usually associated with Christmas and kissing, but in Ireland, if you leave a sprig of mistletoe under your pillow on New Year's Eve, you'll dream of your future partner. And finally, one of the most famous ways to count down the last seconds until the new year is by watching the famous ball drop in New York City's Times Square. This is a tradition that's been going on since 1907. Here in Wisconsin, we have something similar. The Sartori Big Cheese Drop in Plymouth. This 18th annual New Year's Eve party is happening tonight. They welcome thousands of visitors, and the highlight of the event is marked by a countdown, and then they lower a giant wedge of Sartori's award-winning Bella Vitano gold cheese at 10 p.m. I think I do prefer a cheese drop rather than the big crystal ball. And now you know. If equipment is on your mind in the new year, Pam Yonke joins us with the perfect guest.
Oh, the clock is ticking. Calendar year 2024 about to lapse. It's a Tuesday, and now we need to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com or call them 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune from the Steffes Group along with us. Is this kind of an odd time of the year for you guys to keep the business wheels rolling? I've got to believe that, with Christmas on a Wednesday and now tomorrow New Year's Day on a Wednesday, does that jumble up your workflow at all?
Yeah, a little bit it does, because when people always ask us, Ashley, when's the best time to have a retirement auction? When's the best time to do my inventory reduction? Typically, some of the best prices are found in the fourth quarter of the year.
Yeah.
And so we just pile on all these auctions after Thanksgiving through the end of the year. You know, we had a bunch of sales here right on the 30th. We typically see good prices. And then once we get past the new year, of course, things change. People are looking to their profitability for the next growing season. And so that could be a positive or a negative, depending on what's going on.
Well, and right now would be a good time when you're, again, having family around to talk a little bit about what you need to get done by the calendar year. We want those transactions done, hopefully, by the end of the calendar year. And Ashley, the folks at the Stuffers Group do a really good job trying to make sure you can close your books by the end of the calendar year.
Yeah, truly. And, you know, and there's tax implications for some of the sellers, too. So not only did we have a busy fourth quarter, there is quite a number of spillovers that are going to happen right away in the first couple weeks of January.
Okay, so like we said, if you're still looking, folks, or if there's something you need to kind of secure, just get it done today. I mean, that's really kind of the way to do it. If a business transaction happens today, Ashley, the paperwork will still be blessed calendar year 2024, even if that item's not moving.
You know, I hope the IRS isn't listening, but, you know, there's some people that put different dates on their check. Let's put it that way.
Ashley Hewen along with us. That is a typical farmer answer as we wrap up 2024, head into what we hope is going to be a good 2025. If you're looking to start considering an auction or you're curious about one that's online, all you need to do is go to stephasgroup.com or better yet, pick up the phone and give them a call. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Happy New Year from Ashley Hewen and the Stephas Group.
Thanks, Pam. Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we hope your new year is sweet, sweeter than honey. Our own Ben Jarbo has an update for us on the studies that are going on right now to make sure that honey keeps flowing around Wisconsin. It starts with protecting what makes the honey, the honeybees.
Honeybees are known to be great friends of ours, whether it be for pollinating our plants or creating a tasty treat. But as numbers continue to decline, what can we do to help them? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and with me is Dr. Liz Walsh with USDA ARS as a scientist in the Honeybee Reproduction Genetics Lab, and she's here to explain some of the research that she has conducted, as well as some research that she is currently conducting to help these issues.
My dissertation topic was looking at honeybee queen health, especially in light of miticide use by beekeepers. So just like so many industries, we have pest problems. Specifically, honeybees are plagued with this predatory mite called the varroa mite, which is the single strongest driver of colony death within the U.S. And so beekeepers have to resort to miticide use to kill this tiny mite, but not to kill the bees. And sometimes there are opportunity costs to miticide use. And so I was looking at how the presence of miticides impacts honeybee queen health for my dissertation. And I found that some miticides impacted the queens more than others. It really led me to the conclusion that so much of the agricultural industry has already gotten to, which is the importance of integrated pest management, where you do use miticides and pesticides, but you use them as a last resort rather than a first resort. From there, I did a postdoctoral fellowship in Canada, and I did disease ecology work there, primarily working with a fungal pathogen called chalk brood. Ascosphaera apis is the causative agent. And so I looked at how different honeybee stocks show different resistance or susceptibility to this fungus. I also worked on a Canadian national initiative called BCSI, trying to figure out what specific stressors caused bee health markers to change, so that maybe someday we can use these stress markers as a diagnostic for beekeepers. And from there, I am now at Baton Rouge, where I'm looking at so many incredible things. I've got over 16 active projects right now. It's really exciting. The one that's just starting was just funded with a USDA NEPA grant, so $750,000 for several years to work on developing an integrated pest management toolkit for chalkbrood.
Dr. Walsh says that currently most research that is being done on honeybees are done on the queen and not really on the drone, but she said that is something that she would like to look into eventually. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thank you, Ben. And a reminder for our forecast on New Year's Eve. We can expect snow this morning in the Madison and Milwaukee areas. The precipitation will give way to cloudy skies this afternoon, highs in the mid-30s, and a little breezy with winds moving at up to 20 miles per hour. If we head north to Green Bay, very small chances of mixed snow and rain, highs in the upper 30s with less wind. But if we head west to Eau Claire, chances of rain and snow are a little higher, as is the wind speed. Temps will be steady at around 30 degrees. With temperatures lingering below freezing, if you do get any moisture, please drive carefully. U.S. agriculture is bracing for a potential work stoppage at East and Gulf Coast ports. Contract negotiations between the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance broke down in mid-November. The two sides had reached a tentative agreement on wages, but that contract extension is set to expire January 15th. The uncertainty is already impacting U.S. red meat exports. This is according to U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom.
We've known that this date of January 15th now for several months. So while that's the final date, the trade is already reacting. We already have exporters, I'm sure, diverting cargo or planning to divert cargo. Ocean carriers are anticipating that. So we already have surcharges in place, and probably there will be more in place between now and the 15th of January. And a lot of our cargo is refrigerated. So there's also the very real possibility that prior to January 15th, a lot of these ports may stop accepting refrigerated cargo just because of the uncertainty around the contract.
Dan Hallstrom is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. About $100 million of U.S. red meat is shipped out of the affected ports on a weekly basis, just to give you a sense of volume. Let's take a look at what markets are doing from Chicago. Cash corn is up 2.25 cents at 454.5. 2025 new crop corn is up 2 cents, trading at 441 a bushel. Cash soybeans are up 1¾ cents at 983¾, and 2025 new crop beans are up a nickel at 1013¼. Wheat is not seeing the same support. July new crop wheat is down 0.5 cents at 565¾. But the Class 3 milk contracts are seeing some strength into the new year. The January contract is up 2 cents at $20.45 a hundredweight, and the February contract is up 8 cents, trading at $20.75 a hundredweight. In other news this week, Wisconsin's show pig industry continues to grow, drawing families not only from farms, but also urban areas. As the demand for show pigs rises, Wisconsin breeders are stepping up to the plate. The swine team with the Division of Extension is hosting the Show Pig Symposium on January 11th. This is at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. The event is open to everyone from first-time pig owners to experienced breeders. Attendees are asked to register by January 3rd. You can do that at WPPA.org. Again, that's the Show Pig Symposium happening January 11th in the Wisconsin Dells. You're not going to want to touch the dial. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing is up next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll review the strikes and gutters, the ups and downs, and the good and bad of 2024. Plus, how much use are those New Year's resolutions worth anyway? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Holiday trading schedule for New Year's Day, and when do people come back in full force?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems here at the end of the year is just the lack of news, the lack of volume in the market as traders are kind of wrapping up the year in that regard. And with that, sometimes you just see really big swings in the marketplace. I think we're seeing a lot more of it in the equity markets with the stock markets kind of handled the last couple of weeks here. But with that trading schedule today, regular schedule, basically all the way through until the typical close this afternoon for the grains and the livestock markets. So that's 105. On cattle and hogs and on the grain side, we're down at 120 today, just like we typically are. But then there's no night trade tonight, no trade at all tomorrow, no night trade again going into Thursday. And then Thursday morning, we start fresh at 8:30 in the morning to kick off 2025.
Excellent. And I know I said things have been a little sluggish on the market side of things, but grain has seen a little support here this week. Why is that?
Well, we've got a couple things that have been really helping the grain markets, at least up until yesterday. And we'll have to really watch today's trade because kind of a disappointing trade yesterday. Kind of saw that upward momentum for corn and soybeans and even the wheat market just kind of run out of gas. Maybe that was just some squaring up at the end of the year. So we'll have to really watch today's trade a little firmer here this morning again, but not pushing through any of the highs or anything that we put in yesterday. As you know, that corn market actually put a pretty good reversal to the downside in yesterday. Maybe we just get a little rich here. Like I said, maybe it's just end of the year trade. So I'm really curious how we trade today. But with that, that corn market's had a very nice move higher here, obviously fueled by that demand adjustment off the last USDA report and that continued strength in demand. We saw good export sales again this last week. Ethanol grind continues to be strong. And so this market's anticipating maybe that supply pile gets even a little bit tighter. You know, the cash market's maybe softened up a little bit more here with some green moving, you know, so maybe we're not seeing it reflect in terms of this price move in the cash market as well. But over on the soybean side, very interesting move in that market. Obviously, we still got a large South American crop and coming at us here that's still going to just be a lid over prices. But we saw a powerful move in the soybean meal complex over the last couple of weeks. Two things came into play there. First off, investors, in terms of those hedge funds, were sitting on a record short position in soybean meal just with a potential supply of soybean meal that's out there. We actually got those commitment of trader numbers yesterday for the 24th of December, Christmas Eve, and they were sitting on 95,000 short contracts, and that by far was the largest position they've been short.
Then we also got a little bit of a talk of maybe some drying forecasts in Argentina. You're looking at a market that has zero weather premium in it. So we saw a big jump in soybean meal prices, about $30 a ton here over a handful of days. You know, again, maybe peaked out a little bit yesterday, but the money started moving to the sidelines just to be a little bit cautious. And that lifted the soybean market back up into this $10 handle. So again, we'll have to see how today goes as we finish out the year. But again, we've had a nice move because of those factors in both corn and soybeans.
John Heinberg, along with us, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. You can find them at totalfarmmarketing.com. John, to shift gears here, another market our grain goes to is to feed cattle. Cattle markets have remained strong, you know, a little up and down, but overall steady, you know, with less head numbers, and that's the case. Is that going to continue?
You know, that supply side is still going to be the question going into next year, and it doesn't look like that's changing anytime soon here. But, you know, we've got a cattle market that does have a bit of a top and put into it here a couple of weeks ago. But so we'll have to watch on the technical side of this market. The funds are still sitting on a very long position, and that they could liquidate it. We saw that action actually happen in the hog market yesterday as prices just technically broke down, and we saw a fairly strong down day in the hog market yesterday. So we'll have to see as we go into 2025. We're worried about the consumer. Can this retail demand stay there? But right now, the cash market is still king with strong cash prices again last week, and that keeps this front end of this market supported. But it wouldn't take a whole lot here. Cattle markets, light hog markets, they can move very, very quickly on minimal news sometimes. So a little cautious going into 25. Again, great opportunity for producers to get some defense in short term.
John Heinberg, along with us, with Total Farm Marketing. You can find them at totalfarmmarketing.com. Thank you, John, and have a happy New Year's Eve. I'm Stephanie Hoff. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
This is
news from the Center, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Recent regulatory approvals involving a carbon pipeline could help bring economic sustainability to Upper Midwest farmers. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
I told you in yesterday's show about the Summit Carbon Pipeline's recent approvals by utility regulators in North Dakota and Minnesota. You also heard Tom Bias of the American Carbon Alliance explain why that's good for farmers and rural communities. Bias says the eventual completion and operation of the pipeline will also help American biofuels producers to compete in the sustainable aviation fuel market.
The main thing to always keep in mind, Daryl, is whoever can do it the best and the cleanest ought to have the opportunity to do so. So we shouldn't pick winners and losers. And cleaning up our domestic fuel to allow it to qualify going forward is huge.
Bias points to this as an alternative to the economic bailouts for farmers that periodically come up in Washington.
We had many, many, many years where the only reason we could even keep going was federal assistance. We don't need to do that. We just need to increase our demand out there, create new markets. And sustainable aviation fuel is a huge market. Low carbon ethanol is a huge market. And we just have to educate people on why that's important and move forward, because it's huge.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matinair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matinair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.